In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
Okay, given that this is the last formal class of our consecration program, so it's a little abbreviated. We usually have an extra class, but given that pastoral obligations and responsibilities are pretty demanding for priests today, next Thursday is going to be the day of our consecration. So it's right around the corner. So given that we're kind of pressed for time, what I would like to do is explain to you the celebration of our consecration, and then I'd like to develop another Marian topic. So next Thursday will be our consecration day. And technically, you don't have a vigil mass if you don't have a solemnity, but still we're going to be celebrating the visitation because it's the day before the visitation. So that'll be your consecration day, the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. So that'll be the consecration day. Those who do not know the way that we do the consecration, there are many ways it can be done. You could do it by yourself in the quiet of your room, but I try to go all out when we have a consecration. And so it's going to be done in the context of the Mass. Okay? So we'll have the Mass celebrated, and then after the homily, then you're going to be saying your consecration prayer. Consecration prayer, you're going to be praying. There are many forms, but we've been utilizing the one in the back of my book, which is written by St. Louis de Montfort. Okay? So that'll be your prayer of consecration. I would suggest that you pray that prayer every day this week. So that prayer will be the conclusion of your meditation this week. I think you're going to be meditating upon the glorious mysteries this week, right?
Yes.
Okay, so after you finish the meditation, at the very end, spend maybe a good 5 minutes where just going through that beautiful prayer. It's very dense, and that would merit probably an hour and a half talk for me to explain it, but I don't have that time. So pray that prayer very fervently, because that's your prayer of consecration you're going to be making on the day of consecration. And you could get up in the morning and pray that prayer every day, or you can pray another prayer of consecration. The prayer I usually pray is the prayer of Colby, which is the shorter one. It's a very beautiful prayer, but it's very long also. So we're going to be giving you a card with the consecration prayer. We'll give you that card at the door when you come into the church. We're going to have the consecration mass. We'll have it in the new church building. So we invite you to come. Be ready at 7 o'clock. We might start a little bit late. We'll probably start at about 7:15. So if you can come at 7 o'clock, that would be okay. Then after the consecration prayer, there are many ways in which we can manifest our sign of consecration to Mary, but I've been going and doing this in parishes about the past 5 years. We always suggest that you have a scapular. Now, I think all of you have a scapular. Now, if you don't have a scapular, we'll provide a scapular for you. Okay? But if you have your scapular, you can just, what you'll do is you'll take your scapular out, and when you come up, there'll be two lines in the middle aisle of the church, and most likely I'll have a priest that will help me out. You will give me your scapular. Now, I'm going to ask you two favors. Please don't give me the scapular if it's all tangled up, okay? I do believe in Our Lady Undoer of Knots, I believe it. Well, that's too much for her, okay? You women probably know that you're much better at tying knots than men, right? When I was a kid, if I ever had a knot, I would always go to guess who?
My mom,
and she'd be able to untie it. Usually in about 11 seconds, it would have taken me about 11 hours, no? So, please, have your scapular, okay? Here's my scapular that my mom made, okay? Nice, strong scapular. Have your scapular open. Because if you have it crumpled up like this, here it is, Father, no? No, have it open. And if you can have it open like this, and give it to me. Right? And give me your scapular. And some people, on the day of the consecration, they're so far away that they have to kind of, like playing horseshoes, they've got to kind of throw it. You're a human horseshoe, okay? My arms are not as long as Father Larry's, okay? My arms are only probably about 20 inches, so a lot of people go 40 inches away, and I can't reach, you know? End up by having my arms about 3 inches longer at the end of the ceremony. So if you, by chance, step on my feet, I won't get angry with you. I do have shoe polish in my room, okay? So the tendency is usually most people are so far away I can't reach you. So what I usually do is I have a helper that will push the person closer to me. You know, I do believe in using Listerine too, so don't be... You don't know Listerine is, it kills bad breath, okay? So don't... And I won't be eating garlic that night, okay? So, then I will place the scapular on you. Okay? And I'll say, receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. And if you could please say amen, I would really appreciate that. Be like the born again Christians. Amen, brother. So say the amen, and the amen means I believe, right? Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. There's various interpretations. So I'll place the scapular on you. And that means, until you die, you will always wear the scapular. Amen?
Amen.
And if I see you, okay, and I talk with you, I may ask you, do you still have the scapular on? If not... Because I put on, Elvira, probably at least 10,000 scapulars in the past 5 years. Maybe more. I put on a lot of scapulars. A lot of people take it off. Don't take it off. Well, I took a shower and I forgot. Well, would you leave the house without your head on? Yeah. No. Have your scapular on. And maybe have two. If you forget it, you lose it, have another one. In my drawer, I have at least 10 scapulars, thanks to my mom, okay? And I think I got the best. No? This one, my mom made with shoelaces. You know why? Because I'm very athletic and I rip things, no? So this one, I remember on one occasion I was doing this and they actually ripped it. But I would call mom and blame her. Mom, that was a bad scapular. This is it's not according to Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci or Raphael or Murillo. It's not very aesthetic, but it's very pragmatic, as most New Yorkers are, right? So you don't have to have the picture on it. Okay, you don't have to have the picture on it. So a lot of you see that there's a very beautifully designed picture of Our Lady. I mean, I really love that, but you don't have to have that. You don't have to have it. Okay, the scapular that you're going to be putting on should be brown, because there are many scapulars, no? There's the red, there's the green, okay? So the scapular of Our Lady Mount Carmel, it's brown, okay? Brown cloth. And it's not made in the form of a triangle either, okay? Rather, it's a rectangle, okay? Little square. Amen?
Amen.
Now, not that you have to do this, but inside my scapular, if you touch my scapular, you can feel there are two metal things inside the scapular. I know what you're thinking, a nickel and a dime. No. No. I'm not that materialistic, okay? It's not a nickel or a dime, but rather you have two metals in it. You have the most famous Catholic medal in the world. It's called the Miraculous Medal. From Rue de Bach, St. Catherine Labouré, 1830. Some of you know what the Miraculous Medal is, I think. It's also called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. So that is in one. And the other one is this. All of us are tempted, right? The devil exists. You're tempted, a priest gets tempted 5 more times than you people, okay? Believe me. So I want as much protection as possible against the enemies of the priesthood. So I wear the scapular, I got the Miraculous Medal, and I've got the Medal of Saint Benedict. You've heard of him?
Yes.
Saint Benedict Medal, which is a very powerful medal to ward off the devils, okay? Okay, the next time you go to a formal exorcism with one of the exorcists, maybe one of your friends, okay, he'll be invoking the holy name of Jesus, the holy name of Mary, Saint Joseph, Saint Michael the Archangel, and Saint Benedict, okay? He's one of the saints that are invoked when you have a formal exorcism. So, you're going to be wearing your scapular. So wear your scapular. This would be my scapular. Wear it day and night. And this, the scapular, is an exterior sign of your consecration to Mary. This is a sign that you belong to Mary. Got it?
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. If someone comes out in a uniform with pinstripes, that means that person is either a Yankee or a Yankee fan, okay? Okay, whether you like it or not, okay? It's not sky blue, it's a pinstripes, okay? That's a sign of a Yankee or a Yankee fan, okay? Okay, if you see someone dressed in white with, you see this garment here? This is called an alb, okay? Okay? That this vestment that is over me is called a stole. But it's spelled not S-T-O-L-E, but S-T-O-H-L. So I say often when I can't find my stole, who stole my stole? Is there an altar boy that stole my stole? Please return it. That's against one of the commandments now, okay? So this is an exterior sign that I'm a priest. Okay, like the fact that I have the stole hanging down over me like this, that's a sign of a priest. Now, if I were to cross it this way, I would be a deacon. Okay? Learn something new every day, huh?
Yes.
So this is an exterior sign, or you see me, I could have come out in my religious habit. That's a sign that I am a religious priest. I belong to a religious order. And the fact that I have a black religious habit is a sign that I belong to the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. My sash is at my right. Okay? It's a right, okay, I'm an Oblate. The Jesuits have it in the left. In the back, a pony has it, okay? Okay. Okay. I thought you liked that one, okay? Okay. So these are exterior signs. The exterior sign of our consecration to Mary is the scapula. So wherever I go, I've got my scapula, my miraculous medal, my medal of St. Benedict, and I always carry my rosary. So I always carry the most famous Marian sacramentals in the Catholic Church. If I don't have a rosary in my pocket, I feel like I'm without air. I can't, and I'm not superstitious. I'm walking the rosary with this. I'm walking with Mary. Okay, you got my rosary, I'm walking with Mary. And when I got a free time, pull up my rosary, let's pray another rosary, okay? And I wear my scapular. Now, a little bit of symbolism here. Scapular, you wear over your shoulder. Okay, the word scapular comes from Latin. Scapula means shoulder. That's the Latin for a shoulder. So that means you wear it over your shoulder. So you have the scapular, it's over your shoulder, but look at the symbolism. It's really hanging over two parts of your body, your front and your back. The front part of the scapular right now is over where?
My heart.
Yeah, it's over my heart. There it is. My heart is right here, okay? My heart is not here, it's here, okay? Does that say something to you? Having studied literature a lot, I think it by means of symbolism, okay? I have a very symbolic mind. That says a lot to me. It's over my heart. And it's over my back. It's like Mary is giving you a hug. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Your mother Mary is giving you a hug. Do you like that?
Yes.
So Mary's giving you a hug. And it's not just a momentary. She's constantly hugging you. That's why you take it off. Mary's no longer hugging you. And the chamuco is going to come to hug you. Okay? The chamuco is going to hug the chamaca. Chamuco is Mexican for the devil, in case you don't know. Wear it. You know, sacramentals are not sacraments. Now, the most important part of your ceremony, obviously, is communion, right? Hello?
Yes. Okay.
But sacramentals lead us to the sacraments. They're like bridges, bringing us to the sacraments, sacramentals. These are sacramentals. Okay, sacraments were instituted by Jesus, right? Sacramentals by the church. So the church can create new sacramentals. Okay, now, so you're wearing it. You know, often you know, parents will come and say, well, Father, you know, my teenage son or daughter is really afraid at night, hears noises and can't sleep at night, and you know, I usually tell, okay, bring him into the confessional. I never thought about that, Father. Well, I'll bring him in, no? And then they say, does your son wear a scapular? No? Well, I'll give him a scapular. I'll impose the scapular and he's got to wear it. And then what's going to happen? She come back, Father, my son has no more problems that he had. What? He went to confession in peace with God and Mary's embracing. And also the devil and Mary cannot coexist. Do you know that?
Yes.
The devil and Mary, they're antithesis. They can't coexist. So Mary comes, the devil takes off. For that reason, when someone is dying, when the devil attacks us when we die, you pray the rosary, the devil takes off. See, I mentioned my homily yesterday about this time. I was praying for someone that was dying, okay? In a hospital there on South, or the Lakewood Hospital, okay? And we were praying the rosary so fervently, I think they sent all the devils right back to the pit of hell, okay? So you got the scapular. Mary's giving you her loving embrace. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to be posing that scapular on you. And that's the exterior sign that you belong to Mary. Okay, now that being the case, how are you going to live out your consecration? Let's speak a little bit, okay, next week we got the Mass. So how are you going to live out your consecration? Okay, by living out your consecration, it means that you are giving yourself totally to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong totally to Mary. That's a consecration, is a total giving of yourself to Mary. Not partial. It's a total giving of yourself to Mary, and it's a total giving that you give yourself to her until you die, and then she's going to take you to Christ. There's a giving yourself to Mary in this life so that when you die, Mary's going to present you to Jesus Christ as a beautiful gift in heaven. That's what it means. So the consecration to Mary also, Thursday we had our Mass, it's over. No, it's not over. It's just beginning. No, it's not like a quinceañera. No, it's a style of life. That's what it is. That the this month, which culminates in the consecration Mass, is leading us to to espouse and to embrace a style of life where you are belonging to Mary. So everything you do, all who you are, it is Mary's. Everything. So if you live it out well, if you live it out well, it's a radical change of life. And the consequences of this, my friends, is this. You're going to experience in your life a lot of peace and joy you've never experienced before. Okay? A lot of us live very tense. We're very nervous. We're stressed out. We're worried. We live that way. But if you've given yourself totally to Mary, there's no reason why you should be giving in to useless fears and anxiety, because you belong to Mary. And she's going to watch over you every step of your life. She's your mother. Okay, how many mothers here? Remember your little one, a toddler that was about 1 and a half, was walking and wandering. What were you doing? Watching over that toddler every step, right? Hello?
Yes.
Well, Mary's going to be watching over you even more. Not even every step, every movement of your heart. Every heartbeat, every movement, Mary is watching over you. And with a lot of love, and a lot of concern, and a lot of compassion. She's the best of mothers. I think all of you have worked on trying to be good mothers. And well, Mary, no offense, but Mary's a million times better than you are. We take our eye off the little toddler and he falls and hits his head against the wall, right? Mary is watching over us every detail of her life. She's watching over us. Because if you really live this out well, that's why I invite you, you have to do it every year. Because it's really a radical lifestyle. It's radical. And it's very easy for us to forget this. I think every year you should be renewing this. Does it have to be May every year? No. But every year you should renew it, because you can always go deeper in this consecration of Mary. When I was talking with Charlie McKinney, who was the president of Sophia Press, when I was about to launch this book, we had an interview to kind of promote, you know, the book that he's the president of Sophia Press, no? In New Hampshire. And I said, you know, Charlie, what consecration, what devotion to Mary is? It can be like walking along the seashore and the wave comes and just the foam of the wave is just going to be grazing over your feet. Ever do that? Or it could be this. You're in the boat going to the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. You're in to the ocean 20 miles and you drop the anchor. What's going to happen? Down and down and down and down, like a bottomless pit. He said, well, Father, we'll like that image. Well, I like it too. That's what I'm telling you. Because our devotion to Mary can be very superficial. Just the foam that's just washing our feet. Or devotion to Mary, like dropping the anchor into the midst of the Atlantic Ocean in the deepest part. It's a limitless pit, because Mary is the mother of God and God is infinite. So none of us here can say, my devotion to Mary is perfect, Father, I don't have to do it again. Sorry, that's wrong. I would say probably most of us have a devotion to Mary. It might be mediocre. When we start, right now it's going deeper. But it can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. We have it. We have the devotion, but it can go much deeper. So your consecration to Mary is a total giving of yourself to Mary. A total. You're not holding anything back. Okay, what does this mean? Your whole being belongs to Mary. Your time belongs to Mary. Aristotle, who's a very great philosopher, said you measure time by the succession of events. That's the Aristotelian definition of time. Okay? By the succession of events that we measure time. I think that that's pretty complicated. My definition is more simple than Aristotle. Time is divided into past, present, and future. So time is past, present, and future. The past. That means you give your past to Mary. Hello? And I think many of us, here, maybe all of us, have had certain things in our past that are like ghosts that haunt us in the present. I really believe that. Okay? Our past are ghosts that haunt us in the present. And behind that ghost often is the devil, too. He's trying to take away your peace. I'll give you an example. This is going to be painful, and some people have had maybe direct experience or indirect. Okay, for example, a woman that has done an abortion. Okay, it's done. If it's happening, you cannot do it. It's done, right? Or indirectly involved in abortion. So what do you do? The thought comes to haunt you in the present. What do you do? Okay, if you don't know how to cope with this, you're going to fall into depression. You will. You're going to fall into a pit of depression. The depression is going to become deeper and deeper. But what happens if you're consecrated to Mary? Very different. You go to Mary and say, Mary, I failed. But I really love you and I love Jesus. And ask Mary to intervene and to heal you of that wound. I think that's the best way, the post-abortion syndrome, I think that's the best way to undergo healing. Yeah, go to psychologists and yeah, go. Go to the psychologist. Do that. No? But go to Mary. And go to Mary and open up your heart and offer your tears to Mary. Hello?
Amen.
Offer your tears to Mary. Those tears can be sanctified if you give them to Mary. If not, you're going to become bitter and angry and depressed. So when you're giving yourself to Mary, you're giving yourself totally. It's not a partial giving. It's a total giving, 100% to Mary. I really believe, and I emphasize this in the Wedding Feast of Cana, we all have sufferings that we're dealing with. We have crosses, we have wounds that we have. But many of us haven't coped with them yet. We haven't confronted them. We haven't tried to heal these wounds. is Henri Nouwen says, either we are wounded wounders or wounded healers. We're wounded wounders or wounded healers. If we don't go to Mary, who brings us to Jesus, to heal those wounds, we end up by becoming wounded wounders in a wounded and broken world. Welcome to the club. But if we go to Mary, Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. We pray in the Hail, Holy Queen. So we give everything to Mary. We give our past. We give Mary our present. This could and should be a very powerful holy hour. You sit in front of the Blessed Mother. Here I am now in the year 2019, May 23rd. This is who I am. This is what I have. Open up and you talk to Mary about what is going on in your life right now. Now, we've talked about the wounds of the past. We talked about the wounds of the past. We're all wounded. But also we have to talk about the fears of the future. And I think that we have, being honest, I think we all have fears that we're dealing with. Fears. Fears that we're dealing with. One common fear that we deal with is there's someone in our family, a son, a daughter, husband, wife, that is causing us a lot of anxiety, a lot of suffering. Many of us have sons or daughters that have walked away from the church, right? Hello?
Yes.
Many. They've walked away from the church. Now either we can fall into a pit of depression or we can sit down with Mary and talk to the Blessed Mother about this. Have a long heart-to-heart conversation with Mary about this. Mary, I've got a son who's 24 years old, baptism, first communion, confirmation, an altar boy, and now he says he no longer believes in God. Common today. Talk to Mary about that. Open up your heart. Offer your tears. Offer your fears. Offer your anxiety. Offer your tension. Bring that to Mary. And I really believe if you have a heart-to-heart conversation with the Blessed Mother, you're going to get up a different person. You're going to be a different person. It may not be when you go home after that prayer with Mary and you made your holy hour, maybe in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It may not be as soon as you return home, you open up the door, your son said, "Mom, I want to go to confession. I want to become a priest. I want to become a Carmelite monk." It may not happen that way. But something good is going to happen. Is that good that's going to happen, is going to happen overnight? Could be, but maybe not. Then go from your social relationship with your own person. Tell Mary what's going on in your own life. I think it's a very, very good prayer, conversation with Mary, to tell Mary your moral struggles. We didn't have enough time to go into this in detail, but Mary is the Immaculate Conception. What that means? Mary was conceived without original sin. Mary was impeccable. Mary never committed even the slightest sin, never, not even once. Mary was perfect. If you don't understand what that means, I'll explain. Mary, look, I really struggle at times with controlling myself at the table. I struggle with gluttony. Help me. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Mary, I can't seem to overcome this. Give me the grace. Give me the grace of temperance. Give it to me. I beg you. Maybe you struggle with unchastity. You cannot seem to overcome these bad thoughts that seem to be assaulting you every day. Even in your holy hour, you're assaulted by these ugly thoughts, no? Where the heck do these come from, no? Well, why don't you bring this struggle to Mary? One of my favorite passages in the Diary of St. Faustina, which I'm explaining in detail every Friday night, is the St. Faustina Kowalska. What a great saint, great saint. Ever heard of her?
Yes.
Great saint. Now she's praying, and all of a sudden Jesus appears to her. Jesus is dressed in white, and he comes close to her and places a golden sash around her waist. What was that? She was given the gift of perfect chastity in that moment. No longer movements of the flesh, no longer even any bad thoughts. Until she died. What a grace, huh? It's in the diary. And then after that, the number ends where St. Faustina says she had been begging the Blessed Virgin Mary for a long time for that gift. So it was Jesus that came and placed the sash around her waist, but it was through the intercession of Mary that it was attained. So these moral struggles that we have, sometimes the moral struggles, they're embarrassing. They are. They cause a lot of shame and embarrassment. Bring them to Mary. Bring them to Mary. Saint Anthony Marie Claret. You've got to read his life. The Blessed Mother would sometimes appear to him. And on one occasion, he was about 20 years old, and he was in bed, and he was sick, and he had terrible temptations against chastity. And he prayed the Blessed Mother. And he looked up, at the foot of his bed, there was this legion of devils that were there at his bedpost. And he prayed fervently the Blessed Mother. And it seemed as the temptation got worse. And then all of a sudden he prayed more fervently. The Blessed Mother came, all the devils appeared, and he was given the gift of perfect chastity. But it was through the Blessed Mother. Through the Blessed Mother. And he said this. Very interesting. He said that often, this was before this happened, he would notice that there would be a woman present, and she would be a source of provocation and lust. But he said every time he looked at the Blessed Mother, even though she was the most beautiful, she took all the lustful thoughts away. Even though she was by far the most majestic, the most poised, the most beautiful woman that ever lived, by far. But instead of the lustful thoughts augmenting, she took them away. So living out our consecration to Mary is this. People come to me and they say, Father, I'm tempted in many ways. And my suggestion is, as soon as you're tempted, say the Hail Mary. That's my advice. Soon as you're tempted, say a fervent Hail Mary. And the Blessed Mother will intervene. And she'll expel the bad spirit. Because the devil and Mary cannot coexist. They can't. It's impossible. They're diametrically opposed. Like oil and vinegar. Okay, let's take it one more step. Well, it might happen that you fall into sin, whatever it might be. You fall into sin. The devil goes after you and tries to push you into a pit of despair. Look what you did. See, you fell into that again. And you're saying your prayers. You're a hypocrite. You are a first-class hypocrite. You're making the consecration, you're saying your prayers, and you fell into that sin. It's not worth anything. Look how you're a first-class hypocrite. These are the words of the devil. So what happens when we fall? My founder has two words. Nunc cepi. You know what that means? You know, have you ever heard of the oblates of the Virgin Mary? That's us, okay? Nunc cepi, my father would say, is this. When you fall, get up. Get up! Right away. What does the devil do? You got drunk? Going to binge. It's Miller time. Going to binge. You just fell once, drink the whole weekend. But what happens? If we have devotion to Mary, We fall once, get up right away. That's great spiritual theology. Oh, you fell. Just do it again. Do another 25 times and then go back to confession. And go behind the screen. Father doesn't see you. Okay, okay. Go to another parish and you know, disguise your voice, okay? Disguise your voice as being that of a man. Me and Buddha Cherry Padre. No, you fall, get up. Get up. And I really believe devotion to Mary is not to say you consecrate yourself to Mary. Oh, I'm consecrated to Mary, I'm no longer a sinner. No longer a sinner. We're still sinners. But what happens is, when we fall, we are resilient. We get up quickly. And that's a huge progress in the spiritual life. Huge progress. Fall, bounce back. And who helps to lift you up? It's Mary. You fall, Mary's not going to be like this, like a scolding mother. I told you so. She's not that way. She's not scolding. Rather, Mary's there with a hand like this. There's a big difference between this, right, and this. Isn't there?
Yes.
Mary has the hand open to lift you up. I give so many talks, I don't know if I gave you, I use this analogy, but some of you have more than one child. Imagine if you have a daughter that's 10, another one that's 6. The daughter that's 10 is singing and dancing and she's just enjoying life. And the 6-year-old is kind of going through a struggle. She's learning how to ride a bike and she's not very good and it's raining out a little bit, kind of drizzling, and the other one is kind of jumping up and down and enjoying life, whereas the 6-year-old falls off her bike into a mud puddle and splits her knee and hits her head on the concrete. Okay? So you look out the window and she's bawling. Which of the two are you going to show most tender compassion and concern toward? I can't hear you.
Six-year-old.
Why? Because she's in a piteous situation where she's in the mud puddle, she's scraped her knee, she's hit her head, and she is suffering a lot. We're like the little girl that falls off the bike into the mud puddle. And Mary's there to lift us up. You got it?
Yes.
Amen. Mary's there to lift us up. And as my founder says, if we fall 1,000 times, nun cepi. As long as we say, I will begin, we can always start anew. Mary's there to help us. She's always present. That's why she's called our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Okay. Last but not least. If you really love someone or something, you're enthusiastic about it, right?
Yes.
Really love a person, you love a certain thing, you're enthusiastic about it. Remember the first time you promised to take your little son or daughter to Disneyland? Was he looking forward to it? Was he? Enthusiastic? Kind of overflowing with joy? Okay. And say, for example, you said, I'm going to invite your best friend. Well, I'm going to go together. So he runs to the house of his best friend, say, you know, my mom, has invited you to come. She's already bought the entrance pass, and we're going to be going next Saturday. Imagine the joy those two little kids have when Saturday arrives, right? They're going to be jumping for joy. What would happen if you told them Friday night, by the way, we're not going, no? They'd be crestfallen, right? Okay, think about the joy of those two little ones. After you make your consecration to Mary, you should be filled with so much joy that you want to share this with others. Amen?
Amen.
You want to share this with others. In other words, you are called to be apostles of Jesus and Mary. So if you love Mary, you want to make Mary known and loved. Tell your sons, tell your daughters, tell your friends, tell everyone that they really want to experience joy in this life, in life to come, it's by consecrating oneself to Jesus through Mary. For that reason, St. Louis de Montfort says this, the quickest, easiest, most efficacious means to heaven is through the heart of Mary. There was once a king, a pauper, he was a farmer, that was walking down the street and he had something underneath his arm. It was a bag of seed that he was going to throw into his field. And as he's walking toward his farm, he's very poor, he heard behind him some noise, and it was the king with horse and buggy. And the king pulled up beside the pauper and said, hey, what do you have underneath your arm? He said, Your Highness, I'm a farmer, a very poor farmer, but I got a bag of seed underneath my arm. And the king said, well, can you give me some of that? And very angry and begrudgingly, he said, okay, here you've got the king, the richest guy in the kingdom. Here you got one of the poorest. He's asking me. So very begrudgingly, he took a seed, one, and he gave it to the king. And the king in return gave him a white box. And he gave it to the man and said, thank you very much. So he took off with horse and buggy. So the poor man was heading back to his house. On the way there, he was cussing at the king. But he was carrying the little white box. When he arrived at his house, he opened up the door. And he put the little white box on the dusty table. He opened up the box, and inside the box was a wad of cotton, but hidden, nestled in that little wad of cotton was a beautiful diamond that was worth $1 million. And he kicked himself and said, why didn't they give him all the seed? No. So our consecration is this, we're giving to Jesus, to Mary, everything. If we give Mary everything, Mary's going to give us Jesus, and Jesus is going to bring us to the very heart of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, please be seated. There's going to be a short announcement now. Mary, over here.
Space often, we share space with